Thanks for tuning in to the Fabric Podcast. These days, many of us are navigating significant unknowns. New rhythms, questions, and expectations. It seemed like the perfect moment for us to remember our 2017 conversation, New Grooves. In this episode, Melissa Locke helps us start remembering to groove. Here she is.
Hey, everyone. So we're talking new grooves for these last 2 weeks, for now at least, of Virtual Fabric 2021. After learning how to podcast a little better and make the most of Zoom for about 14 months now, Fabric will be gathering in person again on Sundays starting June 6th. Wow. We're thinking of calling it Virtual Zoom. Doesn't that sound great? Ha! I'd love to say fully that I can't wait. But let's be honest, even the best changes are full of discomfort and unknowns. I know I'll have to think a lot more about pants, for example, and maybe showering. Pretty sure I'm not the only one. And then there will be commute time both ways and just getting organized and out of the house. And that's just my family. For Fabric, how will it work to be together again? Will it be awkward to be wearing a mask or not feeling ready to hug? What about the kids? Can we have food? How will we get our stuff to and from Minnehaha Falls Park each week? How can we continue connections with people who aren't local? What about the weather? Should we use paper again? Pens? Honestly, will people even show up? Happily, as I speak, lots of those things are getting worked through and figured out. People are signing on to help, and excitement seems to be building. But it's still change. New grooves. You and I know that change is inevitable, and finding a groove is better than being stuck in a rut. But still, change is so often hard, scary, and just plain exhausting. How about you? Are there things you've gotten used to or even counted on and now they're changing? You have to find a new way to be again? Lots of people are shifting from distance to in-person school or work and adjusting plans and expectations with the changing COVID guidelines. And what about the seasons? We're safely past winter, I think, and already on the edge of summer. I've heard it's been a stronger and longer than usual allergy season to adjust to this year. People are graduating from high school and college. People are becoming empty nesters, moving, finding themselves in new caregiving or receiving roles. Relationships are beginning, ending, pregnancies, births, and deaths. There are new diagnoses or health mysteries to figure out. And then zooming out, wow. Long-standing patterns and assumptions about our economy, history, public institutions in the United States, and relationships with our fellow humans are being questioned to an extent they've not been in my lifetime and that they clearly need to be. And there is the recent drastic change for me from an Android to an iPhone. Actually, that's been pretty effortless, if I'm honest. Full disclosure, Fabric is underwritten by Apple. Okay, so what about you? What has changed or is changing in your life this year? Actually, pause right now and make your own quick list of everything that comes to mind. Make it on paper ideally, but at least in your head. What has changed? What is changing in your life this year? All right, welcome back. I bet that was pretty easy to come up with things that have changed. Did any big feelings poke up for you? And where did you notice them physically? I felt my face soften for some things, and then I noticed my shoulders droop for others with some heaviness as I looked at my list. Even though it has great things on it, like our firstborn graduating from high school. It's still full of emotion and exhaustion to keep moving into new groove after new groove. And frankly, Fabric, I don't always feel like you help much. I know we mean well, but often in trying to help, it feels like Fabric conversations are just adding to the pile of ways to improve, to new things I need to consider and do. Just this year, we've explored several big, long overdue and long haul questions. Like, how do we realize the revolutionary love, that love that Jesus was about, in this world that seems to run not on love, but on making strangers? And then, how can we find and make living room, room to breathe and just be for everyone in that same world where we seem to be always on, online, on call, on guard, on the move? We dove into the urgent shifts needed to find our place as part of this planet, instead of living as though we are over and apart from it. Even when we talked about joy, and more recently our relationships with enough, we can't escape this pesky awareness that there is always loss, growth, discomfort, change embedded in these messages of unconditional belonging, freedom, forgiveness, wonder, and rest. Just last week, when I was feeling one of those moments of, enough with the challenge and the change already, can't I just rest and be enough? Then Greg Meyer says, well, maybe, in the podcast. He said, contentment, being enough, isn't a substitute for growth. It isn't earplugs to the sound of change, no. It is the quietness within that lets you hear more clearly. A steadiness of footing that allows you to accept the challenges. Damn you, fabric. So today, friends, I am not going to say anything new. I'm literally repeating some things you may have heard back in 2017, and many things you hear repeated often in fabric conversations and elsewhere. In fact, what we're talking about has been being said and recited over and over and over again for thousands of years. It's basically this: change is part of life. Change is hard. Remember, we can do hard things. It's worth it. One thing that doesn't seem to change is the need for humans to remember this stuff over and over again. Not just recall it, but remember to reconstitute this wisdom in our being. So we come back to this old message of new grooves. As much as I want to move gracefully into that next change, that next new groove, I still end up in ruts all the time. Repeating patterns that maybe once served a purpose, but really don't anymore. Remember when the pandemic started? We thought we had to quarantine our mail and bananas and wipe down every single thing that came into our house. I think we're still overusing the anti-everything cleaner we got so used to back then. Yeah, maybe there's no scientific rationale for it anymore. In fact, I think science might tell us we're creating more problems this way. Ugh. Don't bother me with information. At least I know what I'm doing and I feel like I'm doing something. It makes me feel better. Can't we just relax a little? Thousands of years ago, the people called Israel longed for that too. They had been on a long, long journey through the wilderness, serious wilderness. They had fled enslavement in Egypt, a world power of their day, and were on their way to a land of long-awaited rest that had been promised them. But it got so bad in the wilderness that they asked to go back to Egypt. Eventually, a couple few generations later, they finally found themselves just across the river of that promised land of life and rest. I couldn't help but notice how that word rest was often in quotations as I was reading about this. But anyway, it was there at the river where they stopped. They stopped. They were just about there and they stopped. Their leader, Moses, who had been with them the whole way, he was really old, spoke his heart to them and to us. The very first line of his address, recorded in the part of the Bible called Deuteronomy, says, "These are the words." Wow. These are it, the words. So what are they? Well, it's quite a telling of an epic story. You should definitely check it out. I know you've been wanting to sit down with the Old Testament. Okay, but if you don't want to read the whole thing, there are a few sentences that sum them up pretty well. they are still a regularly recited Jewish prayer, actually, known as the Shema, which means hear. I'll have that on the episode page. But for now, I want to share a rich and real boiled down version that Heidi on the Fabric staff, who crafts incredibly meaningful experiences for our kids to connect and grow, that Heidi shared. It's just two words, listen and love. Listen. This was more than just hearing the words. It meant respond, obey if you will. Listen and love. Love meant full devotion to that which first loved you, that which is one, undivided, holy itself, God, Yahweh, many names and no names all at the same time. Love is how and why you listen and align with everything you've got, not to obey some external rules as a have to, but because love is how it all works, and you get to be part of it. And maybe it really matters that you are. Toward the end of this heart-to-heart with his people, Moses seals it by reminding them of that very thing in some pretty strong words. I call heaven and earth to witness that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live. Choose life. What does that really mean? We all die eventually, don't we? Even Moses died. I remember getting a curveball pitched to me once about this question. It proposed that the opposite of living isn't dying. The opposite of life is actually the absence of love. I want to swing at that pitch. What about you? So that means choosing life means choosing the presence of love. Is that worth swinging for? Or maybe grooving for? Notice how it's put there too. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. This, again, isn't a threat of punishment for not following the rules. It's a reality check that if you fail to choose, it isn't just neutral. And it isn't just you who will experience the fallout. Those around you and those who come after you, they will live with it too. It says you matter. We matter. Our participation in life matters. Listen, love, choose life. Well, who can argue with that? But it's one thing to agree with it and another to actually choose life in more and more of the moments of each day. And start living more often in that promised land, that promised place. Choosing to trust God, life, love, as an active presence in our lives, that really feels like a leap. It might bring us into a land full of promise, but it's also a place where we aren't in charge. And yet we're asked to show up fully on the dance floor. With all your heart, soul, and strength, it says in the Shema. Giving and receiving in order to bring that promise of love to life. It takes trust in things we can't see, trust in the unknown to go there. Trust and faith always come with doubt. You will often feel doubtful, uncertain, clumsy, and uncomfortable living this way, trusting this way. If you don't, you are probably staying in the ruts you already know, right? Besides listen and love, there's one more big word to look at from Moses' teachings way back then to people who felt cranky, tired, afraid, clumsy, out of sorts, and out of their element. Do you feel that way? Well, we're practicing this word right now as we listen again to these long told stories. The word is remember. Remember, Moses said. Remember the long way that Yahweh, your God, has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. The Hebrew word zakar is to remember. These stories are written so that we too will zakar as we choose our future. Okay, so let's hear how Moses might say that today. Remember, the long way that Yahweh, your God, this complete presence of love, has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, this long time through the wilderness, in order to break down your pretenses of self-reliance and reveal who you really are, whether or not you would trust God, trust love with your life. Somehow remembering was related to being able to live in that promised land. Simply getting there wasn't enough. To be the people of the new groove, they needed to remember. Okay, so how can remembering help us when there is always another new groove? Let's talk about it. It seems obvious, but we need to remember what's worth grooving for. You've had glimpses, maybe you've called it contentment or enoughment, living room, shalom, freedom, oneness, heaven. Those moments when you sense all is well, even when it isn't. When you find yourself surprised by abundance, joy, peace, beauty, goodness, flow, acceptance, connection, belonging, and purpose. This is the vision of the promised land and what Jesus pointed to in saying, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." It's the possibility a guy named Paul would write about after Jesus, about a power beyond, working in and through us that is able to do abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. But it's so easy to lose sight of that vision, isn't it? To forget the fullness and specialness and possibility of life, or wonder if it's real, and fall into ruts that seem more manageable, more believable, more trustworthy in the moment. Are they? Question: who and what do you surround yourself with that remind you of what is worth grooving for? How are you a reminder to others? Something to think about. So, remember what's worth grooving for, and then remember where you've been. Honestly. A little biblical scholarship tells us something here. By writing this account of their early history, hundreds of years later, when they knew how it would turn out, Israel wasn't revising its history to make it look prettier. It was revealing its history so others could do better than they had. They're telling their story with a lot of honesty and humility, allowing their dirty laundry to be seen. Why? It's pretty bad PR, if you ask me. But it seems as though for the ancient people of Israel, it wasn't about their coming off perfectly in the story, but that they and others would learn what it meant to follow Yahweh, to choose life. The end of this collection of writings in Deuteronomy has this line: "Even if you are exiled to the ends of the world, from there Yahweh your God will gather you. From there God will bring you back." Israel wanted us to know that failure happens and progress matters too. What is here is this two-sided message that we constantly have to wrestle with. One, that you will forget where you are going and who you are. You will fail, and that's okay. The expectation to be perfect, to get it all right all the time is impossible. God knows. God knows, right? And number two, showing up to try to get it right is important. Growth is possible and it makes a difference. It matters to your own life, and it matters to the people in your life because it means you are healthier, more fully yourself. And that matters to the larger world where you are one of the people bringing growth, generosity, hope, and offering direction rather than pulling yourself and others away from the presence of love. Yikes, this relationship between forgiveness and progress, it feels delicate and important. We need to practice holding both with gentle attentiveness and with very open hands and open eyes. Shame closes us off to both forgiveness and progress, forgiveness and growth. Shame is not letting the real story, warts and all, be told. It leads to giving up, pride, and comparison, and turns our mistakes into lasting obstacles rather than the momentary pivot points that they can be. Brené Brown reminds us of the truth that Israel seems to have embodied when she says, "Shame hates the daylight. What if you and I could let the real story be told more often? How could that be a gift not only to us, but to others around us and those who come after us?" This kind of brave, full, and honest remembering of who we really are, where we've been, and what is possible is something I work to create space for in my life and those around me as a mom, friend, neighbor, and especially as a fabric leader. It's not the same as wallowing about the past, fretting about the not yet, or trying to perfect yourself or others. Those lead to shame too and keep you stuck in ruts. Remembering fully, honestly, bravely, that empowers you to groove in the moment you're in. How? Because remembering allows you to choose. It's that simple. It seems so obvious, but how often do we not choose? We just do what we've always done or get carried along by the path of least resistance. This is choose versus just react. It's zooming out from the status quo. Do you choose not just what you will do, but who you will be each day as you go to work? When you walk into your house? Or are you just the person that is the product of whatever your last experience was? Just got a new project thrown at you and your list keeps growing, you're on edge. The weather was bad, you're grumpy. The news on the radio is tense, you're worried. Remember, where are you really trying to go long term? Where have you been? Where are you really right now? Have you been here before? What did you go through? How did it happen? What did you do? What did others do? What did you learn? What do you know deep down? Remember, then choose. Okay, I'm in. But will I really remember at 5:30 on Tuesday when I find myself barking at the people I love most about how the food is hot and why couldn't someone have gotten the forks and cups to the table by now? Where is everyone? Will you remember at 2:15 on Wednesday afternoon after you said that thing in a meeting? Or at 3 in the morning when you wake up rehearsing all the ways you are falling short? Or at 6:30 on Friday when you simply feel empty and numb and reach for something to make you feel alive again? Ruts. How do we remember to groove when things feel everything but groovy? How do we choose life? Trust the presence of love in those moments? Well, can you tell me when you figure it out? My family will be grateful. But there is a big idea that can help us if we go back to the plains along the Jordan River. Remember how they were almost about to cross over to where they've been hoping to go all this time, and they stopped? To find new grooves, you'll need to keep practicing the pause button. Interrupt the autopilot, the assumptions, the racing thoughts, the place your mind just goes, the things you just do because that's what you do. It gives you the space you need to remember and choose, not just react. The pause button can be as simple as taking a breath or being still or chewing your food longer. Your body is made with wisdom to help you. As you learn to notice your body's reactions, it can become a cue for you when you need to push pause. So how do you build proactive pauses into your daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly routines? Practicing when it's easier will help you push pause and remember to choose to listen and love when it inevitably gets really hard. I find it revealing here that one of the commands Moses gave the people to remember and follow was to pause weekly to keep the Sabbath. It was one of the laws they were to review with their children, right on their doorways, tied to their foreheads even. But generations later, Jesus, an up-and-comer new rabbi teaching about these same laws, would come along as a big pause button, breaking what had become a religious rule by healing people and picking grain on the Sabbath. Can you believe the audacity? But we do it all the time, don't we? Use our freedom and our power to weigh ourselves and others down with ruts and rules we can feel certain about, rather than lighten the burden so life can do its groove thing. We let even good sacred things like rest turn into ruts when we forget the ultimate call to keep listening and loving. Okay, time to practice. Actually push pause on this after I give your assignment here. Pause to review the last day or two in your mind like you're watching a movie. Or write it on paper like you're writing a quick recap in a diary. As you go, notice a moment that seems like a rut. It might feel small or big to you. Any stuck-in-a-rut moment you want to explore will do. It may have involved some regret, some shame, giving up, some numbing, some comparison, defensiveness, or self-righteousness. Call it to mind, then write it down. Way to go doing that. That was a brave step right there. So the next step is to find someone you trust this week to help you explore it a little more by simply listening without judgment. Tell them all about it. What led up to it? What happened? How did it feel emotionally and physically? How do you want to choose differently going forward? What will be a reminder to push pause again to help you make that tweak? And the next one, and the next tweak after that. After they listen to you, offer to return the favor. It will be a gift to both of you to help you keep grooving when the journey just feels plain hard and long. We don't have to do this alone. These are the words it said at the beginning of that remembering Moses shared with the people at the Jordan River. They had finally almost arrived. They could finally rest. Remember how I kept seeing quotes around the word rest as I read summaries of Israel's epic story? So this telling of that story, about their arrival at the long-promised land, it is called a halakha. It means walking. The Israelites had walked a long way to their destination already, only to find that they weren't done yet. They got there, and then they had to keep walking. And as the story goes, they discovered and rediscovered that Yahweh, I am who I am, wasn't handing down rules for how to walk in order to get to some heavenly place. God wanted to walk with them. That promised land, heaven, nirvana, enoughment, whatever you might call that deep down life worth living for, it isn't a place to go someday. It's a way of moving now, a way of grooving together. Fabric, we can do this, and it matters. So stay grooving, tune in, and join us next week for our last all virtual Fabric weekend, for a while at least, via this podcast and on Zoom and in groups. We'll remember how we've grooved before to help us discover how to keep doing it for the long haul. Meet you there.
Thanks for listening. We talk about these podcasts as conversations, but for that to be true, others need to join in this conversation. You can always find discussion resources at fabricmpls.com. And especially right now, share a question or comment you have on social media to get conversation going. Don't forget to tag Fabric MPLS. And again, thank you for being part of this conversation and helping this fabric we're part of to be woven together.